This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we're going to start in a new chapter which deals with wiping over الخفين. And the word خف means anything that you wear on your feet. And this is part of ablution, of course, because the last pillar of ablution is washing the feet. So if you're going to have shoes, socks, or whatever on your feet, you won't be able to wash them. And this chapter deals with wiping over whatever you're wearing on your feet. The first hadith,
narrated Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah, may Allah be pleased with him, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He performed ablution, and I was then about to remove his shoes when he said, leave them, for my feet were pure when I put them in. So he rubbed over them.
Now, this hadith tells us that Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah was helping the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform wudu, which means that it is okay for a person to serve another. So if someone wants to pour water so you perform wudu, it's okay. Al-Mughir ibn Shu'bah, one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, once the Prophet finished wiping his head, then it's the turn of the feet. So Al-Mughir went to take the shoes of the Prophet alayhi salam off. And the Prophet told them, leave them, for I have put them on a tahara. And what does that mean? It means that if a person performs wudu, ablution, and after he washed his feet, he put on his socks or he put on his shoes, he has worn these socks or shoes while being pure, while being tahir, after performing ablution. So this entitles him to wipe over the shoes or the socks once he nullifies his ablution, his wudu, and wants to perform ablution again. And this scenario is very easy. You wake up in the morning, you perform ablution, you wash your feet, you put on your socks, you put on your shoes, and you go off to your college or to work. Midday, you answer the call of nature. You go to the toilet, go to the bathroom, and then you want to perform wudu, so you prepare yourself to the noon prayers. But when you perform wudu, should I take off my shoes? Should I take off my socks and wash my feet? The answer would be, no, you don't have to do this. Why? Because the Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you have worn your socks or shoes while you are in the state of purity after performing ablution, then all what you have to do is just wipe over them. And this is the sunnah. But the question would be, does anything we wear on our feet, if we ask, for example, fadi, does anything we wear on our feet applies, or does it have to be shoes?
No, anything. you can, it could be shoes or socks, and you can just wipe them off, any of them.
So does, again, the question is to you, does slippers do?
Slippers count in? Yeah, I think so. They also do.
Well, it has to be something that covers the whole foot. Slippers do not cover the whole foot. There are areas of your feet that are exposed and bare naked, so they don't count. They have to cover the whole foot for it to be allowed to wipe over the shoes or socks. And this is the sunnah. As we go on reading the hadiths, inshallah, we will learn more and more about the time, about the duration, and about the nature of what we are wearing. The following hadith.
Narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu, if the religion were based on opinion, it would be more important to wipe the under part of the shoe than the upper. But I have seen Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam weeping over the upper part of his shoes.
Okay, it's wiping, not weeping. When
yes,
we
wiping.
Weep, we
yes.
cry. And I hope we don't cry, but it's wiping.
Okay.
To wipe over the shoes, there's a sunnah. Now, when we wash, Mustafa, when we wash our feet during ablution, what do we wash, the upper part or the lower part?
We wash both parts.
Okay, that's good. He's awake. That's great. We wash the whole foot. Now, if I'm wearing my socks and I want to wipe, now one would say, okay, this is substituting for washing. So I think I should wipe both sides. Now, Ali says, no, this is not the sunnah. What's the sunnah, Ali? May Allah be pleased with him. Ali says that the sunnah is to wipe over the top of the foot or of the socks. And why is that? Because this is the sunnah. And he's saying that if this sunnah was by logic or reasoning of men, then one would wipe the bottom of the foot, because this is the part that steps on dirt, steps on filth, so it should be more cleaned more than the surface of the foot. And this is not the case. Religion is not by logic or reasoning, though lots of it is. But there are certain areas that Allah Azza wa Jal has made His own. So Allah does not justify every single thing for you. There are things that it's common sense. We can understand that. Allah Azza wa Jal forbids intoxicants. You know, wine, alcohol, drugs. Allah tells you this is haram. Anyone with his sound mind would say, I agree. It's harmful. It could lead to problems. And it's not healthy. Allah Azza wa Jal forbids that one steals from the others, or kills, or fornicates, because these are all part of the Ten Commandments that everyone agrees upon. Yet there are things in Islam that we do not know the wisdom behind them. We do not know the logic and reasoning. So should we do it, or should we stop until we know the reason? This is the difference between the master and a slave. A slave does not question. He follows. A master would pause and say, I'm not convinced. Why should I do this? Why shouldn't I do that? A slave complies with his master's instructions. And this is the case in our case. Now, Allah says, men must not wear gold, whether watches, rings, whatever. The Prophet says, these are forbidden for males, and it's permissible for females. One would say, why? The answer would be, it's none of your business. Tells you to do it, you do it. So one would say, okay, what about diamonds? They say diamonds are forever. Can we put on diamonds as male, as men? What do you think, Samir?
I think not.
Why?
There's too many ideals behind it, but I think because diamonds are for, like, women, and secondly, it's arrogance. It shows excessive pride, hubris, to be, like, flashing diamonds and gold. It's basically the same thing.
Okay. This is part of the normal reasoning. Yet, when we come to Islamic Sharia, we find that Allah Azza wa Jal allows us to wear silver. And the only thing He tells us through His Prophet alayhi salam not to wear is gold. This means that in order for us to make something forbidden, we have to have the justification. Now, for example, intoxicants. Wine is mentioned in the Holy Quran, is forbidden. The reasoning, it makes you unaware of what you do. So whatever makes you unaware of what you do, making the wrong decisions, making the wrong moves, it's considered to be part of intoxicants, which means heroin and cocaine are considered to be intoxicants. So it's haram. Why are they haram? Because they share the same reasoning, the same justification. We come back to gold and silver. Gold, Allah Azza wa Jal did not tell us why it's haram. We know it's forbidden. Why? We don't know. So you cannot say, well, diamonds, emeralds, rubies, whatever, are also share the same verdict that is forbidden. No. Everything in this world is permissible for us to use. Everything. Unless Allah specifies that this is haram. Then we stop. But if He does not say it's haram, we cannot say, well, it's arrogant. I know a lot of arrogant people in their garments without wearing any gold or silver or jewelry. They're arrogant. Arrogance is in the heart. It's not in what you wear. And you can wear flashy clothes. You can wear designer's clothes. You can ride the best cars, but you're still humble and loving and caring and giving the poor what Allah Azza wa Jal has instructed you to do, and it has nothing to do with arrogance. Fadi?
I have a question. What, say, for instance, someone has a golden ring, and he didn't know that gold was haram or like not allowed in Islam. So he took it, and he changed the outer surface of the golden ring into platinum, for instance. But the core is still like gold. Can he still wear that ring if it's like a dear ring, or does he still have to take it off?
What is the topic? Mustafa?
Wiping over the shoes.
Wiping over the shoes and socks. So it's a bit, a little bit far fetched. Okay. Nevertheless, it's a legitimate question because it's in the topic we're talking about, which is gold, diamonds, and so on. My cameraman says that we have to pause for a break. Please stay tuned, and I'll answer your question, inshallah, right after the break.
You have questions that bother you? What about issues of concern to you? Would you like to share things on your mind with us? Are you interested in solutions based on an Islamic perspective? Please join me live in Meet Your Advisor every Friday at 9 p.m. Mecca time here on Huda TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Fadi, before the break you had a question. Not related to the topic, but nevertheless, as long as you've said it, we have to answer it if we have the knowledge, inshallah, too. The question again?
My question was, I was wondering if someone has a ring, like a D-ring he has, made out of gold, and then he had it changed, like the outer surface of it only, into platinum. Is it permitted for him to still to wear it, still wearing it, or not?
I'm not good in physics or chemistry, but I think they have a certain symbol for gold, metal, like oxygen is O, hydrogen is H. There is a certain symbol for gold. Now, if any metal contains this core, this metal, gold in it, whether you put a coating, outside coating, whether you conceal it in your pocket, it's forbidden for us to use. Now, remember, there is the yellow gold, and there is a coating you put on the gold just to cover the yellowish part and put a white, black, whatever. But the metal itself, gold, is inside. It's still existing. And there is a third substance that some call platinum or white gold. And it has nothing to do with yellow gold except sharing the name, like in black gold, that is oil. They call it sometimes black gold. And it's definitely not forbidden for males to use, otherwise we wouldn't be able to transport from one place to the other. If you have a watch and the inner parts, the mechanics inside, mechanical parts are made of gold, yellow gold, though nobody can see it, yet still it's forbidden for you to use. It's forbidden for you to use a golden pen or to have a key ring that's made of gold, as it is forbidden for us to use gold, period, except in certain cases that were found at the time of the Prophet, such as having a golden tooth. Then this is okay because it's a necessity and it's a form of medication, not a form of showing off. Now, white gold is a different a story altogether because it's a different metal. So it regardless of the name has no consequences. It's like, for example, it's forbidden for men to wear silk, that is natural silk. But I don't know what you call this fabric that is not natural silk, but they call it silk. They import it to some clothing, and it's not as expensive as natural silk. Though it shares the name silk, but because it's not natural, then it's okay for us to use. So we come back to your question. If you have a golden ring and you coat it with silver or with whatever substance as an outside layer, it is still forbidden for you to use. We come back to the hadith of Ali. Now Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, the cousin of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the husband of his daughter, the son-in-law of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was married to Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is justifying us, the sunnah. The sunnah in wiping over your feet, that is, over your shoes or socks, what you're wearing on your feet, the sunnah is to wipe only the upper part. The lower part is against the sunnah. Ali says it's not logical, but this is religion. Religion is not by reasoning or logic, because if it were to be by reasoning or logic, then you would pause in so many things and say, gee, I don't believe in this. I don't see what's the reason or wisdom behind this, so I'm not going to do it. And this is a big problem. You may succeed in finding the logic or reasoning behind 95%, 98%, or 99.9%, as in the Arab's election. You may find or succeed to find the reasoning behind that. But there is this 0.1% that you did not find the reasoning behind it, though it is there in the Quran or though it's there in the Sunnah. What will happen? Satan will come and tell you, don't accept this. What do you want me to do? Reject it? It's in the Quran. Well, even if it's in the Quran, if you don't know the reasoning behind it, don't accept it. And that is why, as Muslims, we follow the instructions of Allah and we follow the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ without questioning. We may ask, what is the reason behind this? And if we have a reason, we tell it to you. If we don't, we say, well, I don't know. Allah tells us to do this. We do it. And you then have to comply. You don't have the option of, well, if you don't tell me the reason, I'm not gonna do it. This is unacceptable in Islam. It's exactly like driving a car and then there's this red traffic light. You look left and right. There's no traffic. So why should I stop? The cops are on the other side and the guy is waiting in his car with the pad for writing a ticket and just waiting. Make my day. Make your move. So what do? Well, I don't see any reasoning for me to stop. But the police tells me to stop. So what should I do? What do? You stop. Nobody dares and cross a red traffic light when the police are watching. Why? Simply because you know you're going to be punished for that. And Allah has the higher example. Allah tells you not to do this. You are not in a position to say why. Yet, you may ask just to increase your faith and belief. And in this hadith, the logic is there. Though Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the reasoning or logic is not clear, it's clear to us. Now imagine what happens if you wipe the bottom of your shoes or socks with wet hands. What would happen to your hands?
They become dirty.
They will become dirty from the dust, from the filth. And what will become to your shoes? The minute you stop, or you step and walk, you're going to catch more filth and dirt from the floor. So the logic thing is that you wipe the upper part. And this is symbolic, but we have to do it. And Sharia and Islam is filled with similar examples where Allah Azza wa Jal is testing you, He's examining you to see how you comply with what He says. Again, don't mix the role of a servant and the role of a master. We are servants of Allah. We are the slaves of Allah. He tells us to do something, we say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We have heard and we comply. And we accept whatever Allah Azza wa Jal tells us. But the minute you say, we have heard and we disagree, this is the role of the Jews who were commanded to do things and they did not follow what Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered them to do. The following hadith.
Narrated by Safwan ibn Asal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to command us when we were traveling not to take off our shoes for 3 days and nights, except for sexual impurity, and not to do so on account of easing ourselves, passing water, or sleeping.
Okay. This hadith tells us that if a person is traveling, he has the period of 3 days and three nights, which is equivalent of 72 hours, that he has the option to wipe over his shoes or socks during this period of 3 days and three nights. Whether he urinates, passes stool, or falls asleep, when he performs ablution, all what he has to do is wipe over his socks or over his shoes, with the exception of sexual impurity. And why is that? Because sexual impurity requires that you have a total bath. You have ghusl. And you cannot have a total bath with wiping your socks. You have to take off your socks and shoes, and you have to perform this total bath, ghusl, all in all. And if you find this hadith, the following hadith will elaborate a little bit on the period, inshallah. So hadith number, yes, Fadi?
I have a question. So if we're traveling, so is it better for us to take off the shoes and like if you do performing ablution, to wash our feet, or is it better for us not to do so?
Now, is the question understood? I'm traveling, and I have my shoes. I wore my shoes on a tahara. I've performed the ablution and I'm wearing my shoes. Now it's time for prayer. Should I take off my shoes and wash my feet? Or is it recommendable to wipe over the shoes? It depends on what you're doing. If you, the state you are in, if I'm in the state I'm in, I'm having my shoes on, then I wipe on my shoes or wipe on my socks. If I don't have them, I wash my feet. Scholars say that this is made to make your life easier. So it is up to you. Does this mean that if I started traveling today and I have 3 days, which is Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, that during these 3 days, I may not take off my shoes? No, it depends on how you feel. So it's not obligatory that someone, wow, I made a mistake. I wore my shoes on wudu. Now I have to stay 3 full days, 3 full nights without taking off my shoes just to comply with the sunnah. And no one says this. But is it recommendable? Well, if I'm having my shoes on, it's recommendable that you wipe over them and you have no problem in doing this. And this brings us back a little bit to the previous hadith where Ali says, may Allah be pleased with him, wiping over over the surface of the foot. Now, when you wipe over the foot, not underneath the foot, when you wipe over the shoes or the socks, this does not happen. You do not put water in your hands and you soak your shoes or socks. It's called wiping. It's not called washing. So all what you have to do is just wet your hands, and it's there's no water in it. It's just wet, and all what you do is once from the front to the back of your foot once. All what you do is once. You don't have to soak it. And a lot of people have this strong idea of doing it. They wet their hands really well and put some water in their hands and then put it on the socks or on the feet, and this is wrong. You are not supposed to wash it. You're supposed to wipe on it. Again, the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ instructed Safwan ibn Asal, may Allah be pleased with him, that you may, and this is a permission, this is sunnah, you may have 3 days and three nights to wipe over your socks and shoes when you are traveling. But how long can I do this when I'm residing? How long can I do this when I'm in my city or in my hometown? This, inshallah, we will come to discuss in a little bit, confusing, but not that confusing, inshallah, next time we meet. And until then, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.